jamming.
That's a bad jam.
It's my jam. It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
There's my buddy. Hi, Zoe Thorne.
Hello, hello.
Easter long weekend. Were you working on Friday?
No, I don't work Friday or Monday. Yeah.
Wow. And you work private industry. This isn't even like a government brag.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how they managed to pull that off, but I definitely wasn't sad when I heard about it.
No kidding. Well, now I feel bad for roping you in to do this for a couple hours.
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, like, I've got, like, divorced parents and, you know, the spouse, and it's also his mom's, Mr. Handsome's mom's birthday this weekend.
Okay, so. All right.
Yeah, like it's all over the place, but hey.
And here I thought you were just being nice to me because I was the big spender the last time we went and grabbed lunch. I bought the $1.50 hot dog and drink special for you, so I thought that got me bonus points. Okay, cool. Well, let's do this then. The Weekend Jam is underway. She's Zoe. I'm the Milkman, and this is BTR.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
This has been, like, just the nuttiest weather. Like, I know we always get winter weather into April. That's not the thing. But this is just like, this is really weird weather.
Yeah, it seems like Mother Nature cannot make a decision this week. Like, you know, of course, on Wednesday, it was hail, it was rain, it was ice,
and I had a crew
lightning.
In here installing a window. The window that was destroyed. Remember the derecho storm in May of last year? So almost 11 months later, that window's finally replaced. So I got them in here working away in that ice storm. The dog and the cat are cooped up in a room. They're going at each other. And then once these guys were done and they'd left the house, was your dog going insane? Because I could not control my pets for the entire rest of the day. Thunder, lightning, ice, rain, snow, they were just...
Yeah, I mean, Zena just didn't want to go out on Wednesday in the morning. And I was like, Kate, well, you're going to have to wait till I come home from lunch. And then at lunchtime, I just like shoved her out the door and said, you got to go, man. Like, you can't be holding on to everything for
so I'm not the
long.
Only one having English conversations with their dog thinking they understand every word.
Oh, yes, that is absolutely me. I'm surprised no one has called like a mental institute on me from how much I chat with my dog. Hopefully when my roommate moves in later today, that will hopefully stop and I can have normal human conversations with another human again. So,
or you know what happens, right? Roommate, by the way, does roommate come with a pet too or...
No, so no? She's okay. She sadly had to leave hers back in Toronto, but she's excited to live with another dog again.
Okay, so you know what's going to happen, right? You and roommate are going to start sounding the same, oh, Zena, oh, you want to go inside?
Yeah, I feel bad that I talk to kids the same way I talk to my dog, but it seems to work. They like it, so.
What is the boo-da-boo-da-boo, by the way? Like, what? That.
I have no idea. The other day to Mr. Handsome, I was saying the boober noobers, and he was like,
what?
What's a boober noober? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just what like me and my dad have called dogs. How's the boober noober?
We all give our pets names and then come up with nicknames for them. It is so funny. Boober noober's a new one on me, I gotta say, though.
Okay, good, good. I was like, oh, well, I say doggo sometimes. He's like, well, I know that one. I'm like, okay. But yeah, I was just glad to still have power on Wednesday just because it was really touch and go. And my workplace is across the street. But even if a house across the street from you has power, doesn't mean you on the other side of the street has power. So there was a couple big flickers and I was like, I don't know if I'm even going to be able to heat my lunch up when I get home. I might have to just bring it back to the office. So.
Or the hood of your car or whatever you can get, you know, generating some heat. Sure. Maybe heat it up on Mr. Handsome later. I'm just saying.
Ooh.
It's your Weekend Jam, Zoe and the Milkman, with just some ideas for you to try in a worst case scenario. Right?
Yep.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
Zoe, I'm still in that getting to know you phase. Are you cool to talk about OnlyFans?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a profession for some people. It's something that people are, you know, really into and it's kind of sought after. I've never personally gone on and checked it out, but I did come up with like a pretty solid domain name and idea if I ever did decide to do it.
Oh.
So my second toe is significantly longer than my big toe. And I thought, you know, what if I just started like squishing food with it? And then I named my profile, because my name is Zoe, I name it Toey 101 based off of the TV show. That was on Family Channel when I was a kid.
Oh my God.
No one steal that, all right?
You know what, though? I mean, you're right. I mean, it's crazy. The simple things, like, you don't even have to get like full on naked or stripper or anything like that. No. Like, feet is a thing.
Yeah. And every time my toe rips a hole through one of my socks, I'm like, I could probably sell this on OnlyFans if I had any fans.
Here's the latest offering on OnlyFans, if you can believe it. And this is actually tasteful.
Oh, okay.
OnlyFans is now offering NSFW, not safe for work, hot sauce.
Oh, okay. They're getting spicier than normal, I guess.
They're calling this a tempting combo of sweet, heat, and tangy. One bottle contains 5 fluid ounces, or 148 milliliters, if you will, of hot sauce. It's $10 a bottle, and I think I may know someone who has been on OnlyFans, Zoe. I'm not naming names, John Milkey. I'm not. But I'm thinking this may actually help a few people out who are unable to justify when the credit card statement comes in, because it says right on it, OnlyFans. Honey, what are you doing on OnlyFans? How you liking that hot sauce, babe?
Making you sweat in all sorts of ways.
Right? I was not subscribing to Toey 101. It's hot sauce.
I was buying hot sauce.
It's the best get out of jail free card going. Yes, hot sauce now on OnlyFans.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
It's time for memes we've seen, and I definitely relate to my first one because I've done it to myself. Don't you hate it when you turn on your car in the morning and the music is blasting? It's like, whoa there, big fella. I'm not the same person I was last night.
So true. Driving music and morning music, not the same thing.
Nope.
Here's one. I miss the old days when bills didn't have my name on them. Those are the old days.
Yeah, I just got my tax one, and I would love to give it to anybody else if anyone's willing to take it on.
We'll take caller number 9 right now. You can claim Zoe's bill. 613-604-6464. All right, what do you got next?
Just found out that my grandfather always goes to bed 10 minutes early to preheat my grandmother's spot in bed. After 10 minutes, my grandmother crawls into bed and he switches places with her. If that isn't love, I don't want to know what is.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a sweet one today.
Here's one. It's the freaking weekend, baby. I am about to do 15 loads of laundry. Celebrate good times right there.
Yep. The last one I have is, I feel sorry for Netflix era kids. They will never know the high stakes adrenaline of running to the bathroom, fridge, bedroom in a single ad break with the beckoning call of a sibling screaming, it's on! Just send
I
you
saw that one too.
Over.
It's so true.
It is.
It's on!
It's on! Start hurtling over the furniture to get back in time.
There was no pause button back in the day. All right, and finally, memes we've seen. Mimosas are dangerous AF. 1 minute you're eating breakfast, the next minute you're sending you up texts at 2 p.m. There you go. Some of the memes we've seen.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
Hey, Zoe, I want to get your opinion on this. Saw a story this week. It's a restaurant in Melbourne, Australia. And they recently charged a woman $681 because she canceled her reservation. Now, the reservation was for her and 6 friends to celebrate a birthday. When she became ill, she canceled. Now, the restaurant website does state they need 48-hour cancellation notice, and she gave that cancellation notice. But a manager emailed her to say that she requires 5 days notice to cancel because of the size of her group. So
that's that's ridiculous.
Is it?
Yeah, in my opinion, that's absolutely insane because, again, the website said 48 hours. She gave that. You can't just then turn around and say, oh, hey, no, it's actually this. And it's like, and like, that's a crazy amount of time for someone to have to cancel a reservation of 5 days. Like,
yes, I'm going to be sick a week from now.
Yeah, like, you don't know that. That's, and like, honestly, the restaurant should have like circumstances based on like, yeah, if you're sick or if someone breaks their leg. Like, that's no, I would not be flipping that bill back.
All right, so let me ask you that same question, but now you are the owner of the restaurant. It's just a tiny little place. You don't have a lot of tables. Let's say you've got 5 tables and you're putting 2 together for this group and you're ordering all the extra food that'll be required for this group.
I do understand the reservation policy of 48 hours. That is totally fair to me. Don't think that I would go about changing it to 5 days. And it depends, like, you know, if it's a Friday or a Saturday, I think you'll have no problem filling those tables up regardless of the reservation and sell that food. But $100 a plate, like, there's no way. Like, what kind of restaurant is this? Like,
my kind of restaurant. Provided somebody else's foot
like
in the bill.
The yeah. Like, oh, like, woo, so fancy. But yeah, no, I've never even heard of that. Like, for like my hair cutters or the dentist, like they do 48 hours. And of course they still have circumstances. Like, you're not going to go in sick and get your hairstylist or your dentist.
Wait a minute. Sick, you make appointments with your hair cutter?
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. They,
you are fancy.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I make them, like, every time I go in, I just rebook for the next like 4 months or whatever later. But yeah, they have like a cancellation policy because, you know, it is money lost for the person cutting your hair, which is understandable.
And I guess that's my only thing there is, you know, look, I get it. You know, things change. People get sick, etc. But I really feel for the restaurant, especially post-pandemic and all the money that they've already lost and are just trying to stay afloat. And I know this is Melbourne, Australia, but they, you know, COVID was there as well. You order in all this extra food and you probably got a pretty good idea what kind of menu you're going to be serving to these people. And they're going to want cake and all these other things. And all of a sudden they're not showing up and you're stuck with this. Maybe not $681, but
yeah, it just doesn't 10, seem 15%. Like that big of a party either, like 6 people.
Okay,
like,
all right,
I don't know. Okay. Like, if it was 12 or 20 people, okay, understand.
Now we're laughing at the not cool kids. Okay, all right, curling team champion person mocking the rest of the not cool kids. I did.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
So you mentioned your taxes a few minutes ago.
Oh, Milky, Milky, Milky.
What's up?
Don't get me started. I got hit with $3,000 in a tax return this year.
What's $3,000? That's, you're owing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not thrilled about it.
Welcome to my world.
I know, yeah. And then, of course, they just added extra tax to alcohol, which I feel like they're trying to make me an alcoholic, so that's really unfair. They also added it to gas, which is like, I just, you know.
Dude, it's like every.
My car, like, into their building. Like,
it's,
I
like, every
to,
6 months, they're upping the carbon tax. I'm so over this. Enough already. Look, make a compelling argument for me to want to get into an electric vehicle, and I will get into an electric vehicle. Right now, the argument for me is not there. If I need to get to New Brunswick, where my in-laws are, and there's been, you know, some health issues, it's already an 11.5-hour drive. If I have to do that in an EV, it's a 2-day trip.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah, stopping to recharge, and if there's somewhere to stop to recharge, because, of course, those on routes don't always have those charging stations. They're working on implementing them more and more, but again, you don't really know where the next one might be, so.
Right, and I can't afford to just go to the liquor store and pick up a bottle now and sit there drinking while I'm, you know, because I'm driving, so I can't be doing that. It's just, you know.
Which is exactly what I wanted to do when I got hit with my taxes. I'm pretty sure at this point I'm going to have to go on a payment plan because I'm not going to drain my savings that I've saved up for a rainy day. This, I guess, for a lot of people would be considered a rainy day, but it was because of the severance package that I received.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Yeah, last year. So.
The year that I lost my job, and I went in to see my accountant. My wife had lost her job, and I lost my job within 9 days of each other. And we knew hers was coming, and we had accounted for that. But then you're sitting down with the accountant, and you've got these two severance packages, and he's got this big smile on his face, letting me know that I'm owing an obscene amount of money, owing more in taxes than I made in my first year of full-time employment. And he's smiling, going, "You had a really good year." Yeah. Like, no, oh, man. No, that's not no. good at all.
Yeah, it's bad for sure. I will definitely be paying it back. I obviously do my taxes and I want to make sure it's all taken care of, but I was not expecting that bill be so high. So that was really concerning. So
do you do your own taxes, Zoe, or do you work with an accountant?
I do my own, but I did have the stuff like sent over to my mom's guy just to confirm my suspicions and that I wasn't putting anything in the wrong box. But yeah, it's not ideal for sure.
I
feel bad for anyone else in the same situation.
I can't handle doing taxes. I'm not good at it. And I figure over the years, my accountant has probably saved me maybe 8 years in jail.
Oh, yeah. Like I double checked with my guy and he was like, "Nope, you're absolutely right. It's $3,000 and that's what you're going to have to pay." And I'm like, OK, I guess that's the, you know, you got to bite the bullet and do it. But I always make sure, too, that if my employer takes off extra taxes each paycheck as well to make sure that I don't have to pay much or anything at the end of the year. But it was definitely that severance package.
Here's the solution. Here's the solution. We need sponsors on the show.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Pay Zoe's tax bill this year, and we will mention you every weekend from now until this time next year.
Or the day I die.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
All right, Zoe, gotta ask, what you watching? Yeah.
Oh, okay, so I've got a good one this week. Mr. Handsome turned me onto it. It's called Alone, and this season is called Alone Frozen. And basically, it's a contest show. These people can win $500,000 if they last 50 days out in the wild completely alone. So all they have is a GoPro. They're allowed to take the clothes on their back and 10 other items. This season, though, it's like high stakes because they're dropping them off in these places right before wintertime hits. So just like days, like maybe 2 weeks before winter hits.
See, I've dreamed of that. They do these Survivor shows, and I was hooked on Survivor for a long time. And it's like, oh, yeah, try your luck in the outback of Canada in the wintertime. So that's what this is.
Which is where they are. Yeah, so it's, So there's like some people are from Montana, Maine, like, you know, different places in the States. These guys are also very high-ranking people from the previous season. So they did really well, but they didn't win. So they brought them all back and really challenged them with dropping them off right before winter. So it's really well done, well put together, super intense. I think it was like eight episodes this season. Highly recommend for sure. Other than that, on a lighter note of what I'm watching, because I like to have a mix of funny and, you know, sometimes a little bit treacherous.
Which is why we always turn to you for this segment, because what I'm watching, another rerun of Big Bang Theory.
Oh, well, that's always good, too, it is, obviously. Yeah.
Not very compelling for radio, though.
Yeah, so kind of like Big Bang Theory. This one's the new one on Netflix called Unstable. It's featuring Rob Lowe. And we all love Rob Lowe,
yeah,
right?
So he's
back playing himself as always, which of course we love. But he's a tech genius who recently lost his wife and is quote unquote unstable. And they're of course just trying to get him back on track, being the genius that he is, trying to help save the world through their, you know, creations at this biotech firm that he owns and runs. So yeah, it's really funny. I think there's a lot of newer jokes in there. Like they make a joke about the woke movement and stuff like that. But yeah, he's just trying to get back to his normal self and his son gets roped into it. And so far, it's really funny.
That is what Zoe's watching. If you want to know what I'm watching, it's a personal question. I'll refer you to the links on the Orange and Black website or Big Bang Theory reruns. But there's a couple of good ideas. I like the Rob Lowe one. I like both.
Yeah, I highly recommend both, Yeah, they're both very good.
I got a few more days doing the Bachelor thing. I may just have to check them out.
It's the Weekend Jam. with Zoe and the Milkman.
Well, I had my rant earlier about taxes, and I was pretty upset. But Milky, you said you were pretty upset about something this week. What's going on, bud?
Okay. It turns out I'm not the only Canadian who's upset about this, by the way. So I'm...
Well, just like me and the taxes.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I want to talk about a thing that was first introduced in 1963.
Okay.
It was then called Fry's Cream Egg. In 1971, okay, it was renamed the Cadbury Cream Egg. Yes.
Yes, classic.
The Easter Cream Egg. Well, this is where I want to go. It is a classic. But
what did they do to it?
The last number of years, first off, the egg is smaller now
than
it used to be. And it's in like this plastic container. Like every single one of them is in like this plastic thing.
Hard shell thing. Yeah.
Every Easter I lose my mind. It's like, no, I want the old foil.
I want my foil.
The foil, like the chocolate would melt and the foil would be stuck in it and it would get into the fillings of your teeth and it would be ouchy and ow and painful. But, you know, if you were careful, if you got a fresh one, you could just unwrap the thing and it was fine. Why have we moved away from the foil and gone to the plastic, especially in today's world of everything? Like, we can't even have plastic straws in our drinks anymore, but we can have plastic around an Easter egg. It makes no sense to me. And Canada, for some reason, is the only country where the Easter cream egg is wrapped in plastic, and nobody seems to be able to tell me why.
That is so weird. Yeah, and I'm assuming it's difficult to open is also the other reason why you're upset about it. Like, is it like... It's hard to, like, crack open. It's not...
The foil... Well, no. You know what? I don't think I've ever cracked one of the plastic ones open. I'm not eating them because it's not what it was.
I'm boycotting it till you bring back the foil.
Well, I am. Now, in fairness, I will go to McDonald's and I will have an Easter cream egg McFlurry, so that gives me my fix.
Well, that's because they already cracked them all for you.
Exactly. But I don't understand why, like, okay, so now I've got to discard these two plastic shells into the recycle bin they go and whatever else, as opposed to a teeny tiny little bit of, I want my foil back is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I want the painful foil in between my teeth, stuck in the goopiness of the egg.
The goopiness, bring it. I want it. And if you're with me, listener, let us know. 613-604-6464. Hit us up at blasttheradio.com. Hit the show page. You are looking for the Weekend Jam.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
Zoe, I want to introduce you to a good friend of mine. He's done segments on various incarnations of my show. He is yet to be on the Weekend Jam. Zoe, meet Chris Father Gilbert. Chris, meet Zoe.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Zoe. And I feel like you and I are going to get along swimmingly because I see right behind you a lovely backdrop with all sorts of kitchen utensils. Beautiful. I love
it. Yes. I would say I'm like a low-level foodie, but I do love to find good things to eat for sure, like you. So
now, do you like to find good things to eat, Zoe? Do you like to find good things to trace on your pegboard?
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got to be interesting looking for the pegboard.
All right. Chris has a YouTube channel called That's Rank, where he'll walk into a grocery store. He'll find the weirdest foods. He'll try them. If there's a new food out there or people are trying new things with foods, that's what he does. YouTube.com/That's Rank. Chris, first off, your take on the whole foil versus plastic container for the Easter cream egg that we talked about moments ago.
Yeah, well, actually, that's going to wind up being a perfect transition into what we're going to get into. Okay. But on my end, just run with the foil, guys.
Thank you.
I don't see the need for the extra waste with the plastic packaging.
Three for three.
The way it was. Yeah. All right. So, interesting time because up until about 5 minutes ago, I was going to talk about a bunch of weird Peeps products that have flooded the market for this
year's
Easter.
Let's not ever discuss Peeps.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to have to ask you both to take off your Peeps Crocs and remove your Peeps eyeshadow and nail polish because we're going to throw those on the back burner and maybe we'll touch on those next year.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right. Now, Zoe, since you and I are breaking the ice and getting to know each other a little bit, I know you touched on it in the last segment, but I want to know, like, how deeply do you feel about the Cadbury cream egg?
It's definitely a classic and a favorite. I do enjoy the Oreos one that came out as well. I do like, I love Oreos, they're really good. But classic Easter time treat, just like the Peeps. But I think we can all agree that the Cadbury cream eggs are superior for sure.
They're definitely superior.
This makes me so happy, by the way, when like Little Miss Fitness Princess is talking about being okay with eating these things, and Chubby Chunk over here is like, I have to give them up. Apparently, I don't.
No, you don't. You can be healthy like me, John. Now, let me pose a very different but same question to you. You're standing in line at Subway. What sandwich are you getting?
Me, myself, or Johnny? Sorry.
Oh, John. I want to know what John's getting. We've covered your opinion on the cream egg. This is the same question.
Yeah, Zoe, we're done with you now. We're moving on to me. Okay. All right. It's the chicken, bacon, ranch on footlong white bread. Ranch sauce.
That sounds pretty
toasted.
Good right now, to be honest with you.
White cheese.
So based on those two questions, it was actually the same question because Subway rolled out their one day only cream egg sub melt, which featured a deconstructed and incredibly melty Cadbury cream egg atop a 6-inch sub.
Oh
no!
So guys, I'm sorry about your reaction, but there's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube at this point. Oh. It has happened. It's not an April Fool's joke. It was actually served yesterday on Good Friday in the UK only. Oh. And despite being the high amount of sugar that's being consumed from this, no one was actually reported dead from the promotion. It's not every day that a person survives their personal cream action, but I'm going to ask you both, what bread are you choosing to serve this on? And no, John, none is not an answer.
I choose cookie dough.
Oh.
Put that on some cookie dough that looks like a sub bun, and then you've got something. Otherwise, leave it the hell off conventional bread.
I go with a crepe.
You go with a crepe.
Oh.
There's somebody that's thinking, John, because that's more of a traditional presentation. You can get that kind of stuff over at Cora's and other breakfast spots in and around North America.
Ham, cheese, egg.
Yeah. Well, I've actually given this a lot of thought in the 2 minutes since I heard about this story. And while the store recommends going with the white bread, that feels like a cop-out to me. The honey oat would probably go a little bit more nicely, you know, a little sugar on sugar action with that. But I think ultimately I defer to the Italian herb and cheese. And I might even ask they throw on some of that allegedly roasted chicken. You know, the really long, weird patty that looks like it came off a rubber chicken and then had some grill marks painted on it. A little bit of tomato, some barbecue sauce. You know, we're civilized people, not animals. Let's show a little bit of class while pounding our cream egg sub melt, guys.
Agreed. I get the Italian herb and cheese when I go, and I don't trust the meat either, so I always get a veggie delight. That is my Subway delight. I would throw an egg on it.
Yeah, I'm just going from bad to worse in this day, all right? I'm already angry enough at the Cadbury cream egg being in plastic, and now this.
Is it safer in the plastic or on the Subway sub?
Just leave it alone. That's what I want. Just leave it alone. Chris Father Gilbrown is on YouTube, youtube.com/thatsrank, and here for you on The Weekend Jam.
It's The Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
The official title of this segment is the weird/cool news story of the week. Right, Zoe?
I like it. Yeah, I don't think we need to tighten it up whatsoever.
That's a pretty sexy title right there. What do you got?
And this one hits on both. So a South African private flight had to do an emergency landing because they had a lethal Voyager on the plane. Yep, that's right. Snakes on a plane.
Dun, dun,
does
dun.
Happen in real life. Yes. Yeah. Pilot Rudolf Ermes was on and traveling around 11,000 feet in the air with his four passengers when he all of a sudden felt something cool on his shirt.
Nope.
He thought maybe his water bottle was leaking, but then discovered the source of the feeling was something far freakier. It was a Cape Cobra. Lethal, can kill you in 30 minutes, apparently. So, of course, what I would have done was immediately crash the plane and take everybody out. Mama ain't going down like that.
I have control. I choose option B.
Take everyone out. He very calmly announced to everyone on the plane that we are going to need to make an emergency landing. There is a lethal reptile on the plane sharing the cockpit with me. So about 2,000 kilometers away from their destination, they ended up having to make an emergency landing. Everyone got off safely. And they all, of course, commended him for how cool and calmly he told everyone.
That's my thing. Here's what I don't understand about flying. Why do pilots have to tell people every little thing. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Why are we going down? I don't want to know. I just know we're going.
We're turning around. We're going back. Okay, great. I'm from there. I can assume there is some sort of problem. I don't want the details. Spare me that. Just tell me that we're going back and we're going to be on the ground, and you know, leave it for my mind to determine whether or not we're going to make it there safely or not. I don't want to know about the engine fire. I don't want to know about the snake on the plane. I just want to know we've got a situation. Don't panic. Here's another drink for you.
Okay. Yeah. But like, so what bothered me the most about this news story was two pilots actually ended up seeing this snake slithering around his plane and tried to grab it, but were unsuccessful while it was still originally.
So they knew it was there before takeoff.
They knew it was there. Called it in saying that we saw this cobra on the, you know, tarmac and it's slithering around the pilot's plane and they tried to get it, couldn't get it. And it ended up taking refuge inside the plane and then ended up in the cockpit. That's what really drove me crazy about this story.
Yeah, that's like, a whole other...
You just left it alone.
No, that's a whole other thing.
It wouldn't have gotten in the plane.
The plane doesn't go anywhere. That's grounded now.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, stowaway cobra. No thanks.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
All right, Zoe, time now for our tweets of the week. And this time I have chosen the top tweets from parents.
Ooh, like it.
All right, Jesse writes, I don't have a favorite child, but if you were to go by the photos on my phone, my favorite child is the dog.
Fair, so fair. They don't argue back, so.
That's a good parent right there. That's how you keep that balance. All right.
Yes.
This is Kristen. She writes, my 3-year-old has requested Cheerios in the mermaid bowl. We do not own a mermaid bowl, nor have we ever owned a mermaid bowl. I look forward to her reasonable response.
It must have been at a friend's house or something that she remembered it from.
Has to be, or at daycare or something.
Something.
So,
yeah. Like, I want it in the mermaid bowl.
You know, everywhere mom goes now, and her friends too, right? Her whole inner circle is now having to find a mermaid bowl.
Oh my gosh.
All right, let's go to this tweet of the week from Marcy. Again, these are all about kids. Marcy writes, my 5-year-old was standing in front of the mirror wearing plastic heels and a purse. I told her she looked cute. She looked at me like she's better than me and said, I am rich. Okay, then.
Oh, no.
I can hear that from a kid, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those, if you're not rolling video on the kid at that moment, you know, oh, you'll forever regret it.
But playing rich, who didn't do that in a childhood?
I'm not cute, I'm rich. All right, Megan writes this. I let my kid stir the pancake batter, and now he keeps asking for the whiskey. Not the whisk, the whiskey. Going to have a lot of explaining to do at preschool, Megan says.
Definitely.
Yep, and finally, tweets of the week, parents edition. My 6-year-old said in a cute voice, hey, mommy, do you know what this means? Then he showed me his middle finger. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, that was Kevin, by the way.
You should come driving with me. You can help me out.
That's how you explain that to the kid. It's a driving symbol.
I've started to use the thumbs down because I've noticed that offends people more. So I've given up on the bird.
You know what? That would confuse me. It's like, well, wait a minute. What thumbs down? Who does that?
It's confusing. And then you're like, oh, well, that's just rude.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
It's our celebrity segment of the week, beginning with celebrity news, Zoe.
Yes, well, starting off with Miss J-Lo. Yes, she has come out with her own line of drinks. And as we're cruising into the summer, you know, Milky, I love going and finding that perfect summer drink. And I think she might have one that will tickle my fancy. So she's launched, it's called De Lola Spritz, spritz. It's named after her nickname, which is Lola, which usually comes out when she's got a cocktail in her hand and she's living life, having a good time. So she wanted something that is also gluten-free for all you gluten-free lovers out there. For everyone to just be able to pour over ice and enjoy. She didn't want any fuss, no muss, just wanted the perfect summer drink. She's come out with three. Oh. They're about the same alcoholic content as a glass of wine, so you're feeling good afterwards. The flavors is Bella Berry, so that's a vodka, berry, and hibiscus cocktail in a can. The one that's got me going is the Paloma Spritz. It's tequila, grapefruit, and elderflower. Nope. Anything with elderflower you have. I don't know if that was my days working at IKEA or what, but... love it. Oh, you can't do the tequila?
Tequila night? No, we had a bad night once upon a time in my 20s, and all these years later,
I
still can't.
Mr. Handsome would get along. He doesn't do tequila either, and I'm like, this girl's got to turn up, and that's the only way how, man.
More for you.
Maybe you'll like the other one, which is El Orange Split. It's an Amaro, orange, and passion fruit one. Maybe a bit more on the sweeter side, but that passion fruit. Yeah.
The first one you mentioned, I think I'd be more inclined to go after that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, it seems like there's something for everyone. Seems like it'll be a really easy, nice sipping drink for the summertime, and I hope it hits Canadian shelves soon.
I would be remiss if I did not ask you this, because I suspect I'm going to have you over with Mr. Handsome on the deck one night. Pink Whitney Spritzer, would that please you?
Oh, yes, sir. I was just cracking it out because I can't afford to go to the LCBO anymore, thanks to my taxes. So I had to go crack out the bottle of Pink Whitney that's all been sitting on my shelf for a little while.
Well, I got lots here, so we'll take care of you.
It's somebody's birthday today.
Celebrity birthdays this weekend. Let's begin with today's birthdays. Actor Stuart Hankin, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Not Necessarily the News, is 77. Guitarist Steve Howe of Yes and also of Asia fame, he's 76. Bass player Mel Schasher of Grand Funk Railroad, 72. John Schneider, he was Bo of the Dukes of Hazzard, he's so handsome too, he's 63. Izzy Stradlin of Guns N' Roses, 61. Julian Lennon, son of course of the late John Lennon, he's 60. That kills me. Patricia Arquette turns 55 today. Darren Jesse of Ben Folds 5 is 52. I love that song. Give me my money back, you bitch. You don't know that song?
No, I know it. I just love when you added the B word at the end. Really, just, I don't know, cracked me up.
You can never go wrong with a good B word. Emma Caulfield of Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame is 50. Taryn Noah Smith, Home Improvement, 39. And Sadie Calvano of Mom is 26. And celebrating birthdays tomorrow, Dennis Quaid, Mark Pellegrino of Dexter, actor model Polina Koroskova. I always screw that name up every time.
That sounds like a hard one.
Yeah. Right up there with Milky, and yet. Cynthia Nixon, Sex and the City, 57. Keisha Knight Pullman of The Cosby Show, 44. From Twilight, Kristen Stewart turns 33. Little Nas X is 24.
Oh, yes.
And Isaac Hempstead Wright, Game of Thrones, 24. That is your celebrity segment for this week's Weekend Jam.
Yahoo! Ooh, jamming.
That's a bad jam.
It's my jam. It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
So I think I found the job that you would love to do, Milky. The odd job of the week is bridesmaid for hire.
It's been a while since I've rocked the heels. It's true. Okay, tell me more.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, you can, there's courses now that you can do for this. There's plenty of books of people who've started their own small businesses.
What?
One of them, I think, is called Always a Bridesmaid for Hire underneath it.
This is getting out of control. Come on.
So on the high end, though, you can make about $101,000 a year from this.
Suddenly
on the
I'm
low
listening.
End,
okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. On the low end, $19,000 a year. But as a side gig, and who doesn't love to go to a free party? Come on, you know, and get paid. That'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
On the low end, yeah, $19,000 a year has people been reported making. So, yeah, courses and books out there, if it is something that you're interested in, it helps you kind of find clients, how to be a perfect bridesmaid. And there's different levels. You could be the maid of honor. You could just be one of the other bridesmaids in the party, just helping get things ready. But of course, yeah, you gotta be on point with your decorating. You gotta be on point with your time scheduling and, you know, photo taking and just all that, making sure
you can photo taking goes to the photographer. Okay, I'm curious about this. Okay, so
you got to know how to smile. You can't just show them.
Ah. You know? Yeah. So, okay. So on the surface, this sounds like the bridesmaids should be friends of the bride, right? That's traditionally how it's done. This sounds like, no, we're bringing somebody in who is replacing the wedding planner and they're going to be amongst the wedding party and basically there as a coach. Okay, here's how to pose, guys. Here's where to look. Here's why. Is that kind of the purpose of this?
Yeah. So again, when you leave these things up to the bridal parties, like, and if you've been a part of a bridal party, you know that it's not just showing up and wearing the dress.
No.
It is so much more, whether it comes to helping create the decoration, set up on the day of, whatever. Like, it becomes a lot more. So
just helping the bride is a big deal.
Yeah. So that, yeah. So
there's a great photo of my wife on her wedding day and her bridesmaids are helping lift up that dress just so she can have a tinkle. It's classic.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that you might have to do. 100%.
It's funny visually, but it's absolutely a thing. There's a lot involved in that wedding dress.
Yeah, so now this seems to be a job that's been created to help the bridal party because, again, not everyone has all these talents. Some people have no time to help, too. Like, they have their own lives going on, not just the bride and her life, you know? So, it seems like
it's so your real friends just show up and then you've got this paid person who's actually been there doing the work.
Who's got the headset and is like, breaker, we got it. You know? We're not on time. Move the bride.
Now, do they have this for the groom's side as well?
I'm sure if there's the bridesmaid side, there's got to be something for grooms as well. But also, no offense to grooms. And I'm sure there are grooms that have taken over.
By the way, I don't even know where you're going, but when the sentence starts with no offense to grooms, there's going to be offense to grooms.
I just feel like they're not as ever really stressed out about the whole thing as the bride.
True.
I've seen it the opposite where it is the groom who's absolutely freaking out. But again, I just think a lot of it ends up falling on the bride side of the bridal party, and then the groomsmen are off drinking and playing games while the women are running around frantically freaking out. But
I think it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
In my wedding, she bought the dress, I rented the suit. Why not rent the groomsman as well?
From my experiences, I have seen the other side, but the majority of the time, the bride, until literally the ninth hour as she's walking down the aisle, is just absolutely plowing through the list of things to do.
She's Monica from Friends.
Trying to get everyone
100%.
On board. Yeah, exactly. Trying just to get everyone on board, trying to get everyone ready, checking in with her team, the groom's team, everyone's team.
Okay, so I'm curious. You are a lot closer in age to when somebody typically gets married for the first time, and you're in a relationship with very handsome men. We've established that, and hello to very handsome men. He does listen to the show. I appreciate that. is that something you would consider or suggest to one of your friends who is getting married? To just, listen, let's just hire somebody. They'll be in amongst the bridal party, and then the stress is gone. Would you do that?
Yeah. Honestly, I've thought about what I've experienced at weddings, it's always the day of crunch, and I don't think I would need help too much getting things ready for the wedding, because you do pick it on a time frame out, and people do end up having things run behind schedule and stuff before the day of. But I think I would just want someone on the morning and at the end of the wedding to make sure everything's set up properly, the mics are working, the speakers are working, everyone can hear us, because that is one of my biggest complaints coming out of weddings.
I
cannot hear what they're saying at the altar, and it drives me mad. I'm like,
there's the radio student in you right there.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm literally it just kills me. But yeah, if someone could just set up everything while I'm getting ready and then come with me, show me the list and say, this is all done, I think I would absolutely pay for that service. And then at the end of the night, I'm drunk. I don't want to deal with all this stuff.
That's the job.
Clean it up.
That's the job somebody needs for Zoe's tomorrow. Wedding. Just make sure Zoe has an endless supply of those J-Lo spritzers, and that night, everything will be fine.
I have always said the band or the DJ and the booze will be what I spend the most on for my wedding because, that's what people show up for. So.
Well, if you're going to splurge on the DJ budget, I know a guy. I'm just saying.
Oh.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
Hey, Zoe.
Yeah.
You're an Oreo fan.
Oh, yeah. Double stuff all the way. Oh, that sounds wrong.
No. Why? Oh, no. Still, no.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I don't know what to say here. I'm going to move on to my intended target. That is, did you know there are over 30 different flavors of Oreos?
No, really? Because I feel like we only see the like special edition ones every now and again. And then
there's
the typical like golden ones, double stuff being my favorite. And then there's like the regular or like the minis.
I was blown away. I came across this article and it ranks the 30 best, which means there's more. But the 30 best.
God.
We won't do all 30, but let's say you want to run down the top 10.
Yeah, absolutely,
because
I need to go find these.
We'll throw the link up to the entire article so you can find that at facebook.com/blastoftheradio. Birthday cake Oreos.
I did try those in the States. Yeah.
And they got the little, I want to say...
Confetti.
I wanted to say glitter.
Cake.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Fudge-dipped Oreo Thins Bites.
Fudge-dipped Oreos thin bites.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm like trying to imagine it, you know, I'm just like.
The ideal snack for all those who like chocolate mini things and feeling vaguely ill after putting down an inevitable bag's worth of this stuff is the description.
Those sound good though.
How about Oreo thin mints?
Not a huge mint person, so those would not rank very high for me.
How dare you say that?
I know, but like when I was a girl guide, like I got excited selling the chocolate and vanilla ones. I was never pumped about selling the mint ones in the fall.
By the way, it is girl guide cookie season.
I see it
on my Facebook timeline. Y'all looking to offload some thin mints? Hi, John Milky.
Yeah.
Oreo Thins Bites. We're back to these.
Okay, the thins seem to be... And again, I just said I love the double stuff. So
all the cookie, less guilt, I guess, is, you know, if we make it thinner.
Yeah.
Okay, and here we go again. Chocolate Oreo thins. So these are stuffed with chocolate instead, but a very thin layer.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So they've gone from the double stuff to basically like a paper thin little bit of...
I hate these diet trends, Milky. They're destroying everything good that we love.
Would you eat this? We got to get Chris Father Gilbrown in on this at some point.
Oh, true.
Churro Oreo.
Yes. I love churros.
I'm not sure if I've had churro. It looks good.
Yeah, it's just like a puff pastry, like secreted out into frying oil. And then it just kind of... And then it's usually like cinnamon sugar, and then you get like it's almost like the caramel apple dipping sauce.
Yeah,
you kind of get that, or they do chocolate as well. Yeah,
I'm sure I've had it. I just didn't ask what it was. It was gone before I had that opportunity. Right?
Yeah.
Again, these are the 30. I can't believe there are 30 top Oreo flavors. We're not going to give all 30. We're down to number 7 here. The chocolate Oreo. So it's your Oreo, but instead of thin chocolate in the middle, it's just regular sized stuff. Chocolate. I'm going to say no to this next one.
Okay.
And just, I look at it, and I'm like, I just find it very unappealing, and yet I would absolutely devour it. Let's just be honest. The peanut butter Oreo.
Oh, but that kind of reminds me of, what's those peanut?
The peanut butter cup.
Butter cookie. Yeah. Like, it's like literally like they look like peanuts. And
except this is an Oreo, so you got your chocolate wafers on the outside, and you've got like a peanut butter in the middle.
So it's kind of like a Reese's Pieces almost.
The packaging,
or they're trying to like...
Yeah, the packaging does not make it look appetizing. It's way too orange for my liking.
Ooh.
But
ooh.
If it's in the house and I can't find anything else, I'm going for it.
Okay.
All right, here
Fair
we
enough.
Go. We're stepping things up. It's the fudge dipped mint Oreo Thins Bites.
Back to the mint again.
Yeah, but there's two of them now and they're dipped. So there's that.
Give me an extra layer.
We said we're going to do 10. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, file eat number 10, the white fudge-dipped Oreo Thins Bites. So same concept, but dipped in white chocolate.
And still thin. What is up with the thins, guys? What are we doing here? Like, if we're going to indulge, indulge.
Just take the word thin out of it. You're not fooling anybody. Exactly.
Do you want to know the one that I did try in the States that I did not like?
Yeah, yeah.
Watermelon Oreos.
What?
It was really gross.
I bet.
And like the packaging was like probably something that would turn you off as well. Like it was like the golden Oreo, but it had like a red and green frosting, and they were good.
I don't even know if that's on the list of the top 30, but I'm glad we stopped at 10 just in case. Yes, exactly.
It's the Weekend Jam with Zoe and the Milkman.
Well, Zoe, despite power outages, et cetera, this week, we managed to get everything connected, up and running, and I would say we had a pretty good 3 hours there. We covered a lot of ground today.
We pulled that off like pros.
First time for everything, right?
Exactly. And first time meeting Chris, because I didn't get to meet Chris before. So always love meeting new people, especially another foodie. So
thank you for saying that. I feel bad for Chris because he and I, like I said, we go back years and years and years. He was a student in the radio program at Algonquin College, and I was his teacher. And he was the youngest guy in the class and just all the talent in the world. And he's gone on to do, you know, amazing, wonderful things in his career outside of radio. But he's launched this YouTube channel, and I keep bringing him on to, you know, my show. And then I go on, I change the show. Hey, Chris, I got to put you on a break for a little bit. Bring him back in. Okay, Chris, that's on break now. Hey, Chris, would you come on the Weekend Jam? And he's just always, it's always a yes for Chris. And his content is so compelling, isn't it?
Yes. And it's a fantastic radio broadcasting program at Algonquin College. I wish you were my teacher. That kind of sucks now that I realize that you were a teacher.
You would have hated me. We would not have found our way to here. You would have hated me.
No.
I would have made you do things. Okay.
Okay, where's this sentence?
You remember the very first few weeks of radio school? You're still trying to figure out how to get your voice through a microphone and record it, et cetera. So they give you things like tongue twisters and poems.
Oh, yep.
And it's constant. And I ended up with a script at the radio station I was working at, Cool FM. And I'm like, I'm going to get the question. Why do we have to do tongue twisters again? This is my here's why. You're going to love this. It was an actual commercial that I had to read for the Hampton Holistic Chiropractic Clinic's Spinal Subluxation Family Fun Day with Cool FM live on location.
What? That's a ridiculous name. One. And two, nailed that. Great job.
I will never forget it. And I actually did the live on location. I've done a lot of strange live on locations. Come on in for a spinal alignment, and we have face painting for the kids, was right up there. Yep, the Hampton Holistic Chiropractic Clinic's Spinal Subluxation Family Fun Day with Cool FM live on location.
Again, nailed it, and I would have never even pulled off the first one. And you don't even have the script there, which is even better.
No, and the other fun one was I had the same English teacher grade 9, grade 10, grade 11, and she hated me, and I hated her, and I was not a good student, and she made a deal with me. I will get you out of English class if you can get Anthony's soliloquy memorized. She says, and there's 20 lines. You can do 10 on Wednesday, 10 on Thursday. If you get 60%, you pass. You never have to see me again. Anything less than 60, and you're back taking this class for like a fourth time. Oh, pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Thou art the runes of the noblest man that ever lived in the tide of times. Woe to the hand that shed this costly blood. And on and on and on. Okay, so I end up with her son in my class.
Okay.
He reveals to me that he is her son. So I hand out the assignment for everyone, except guess who has their very own special assignment of Anthony's soliloquy. And he's like, why? I said, you ask your mother.
You go talk to mommy.
And I haven't heard from him since, so see?
Oh, yeah. But that's funny, because that sounded very similar to me with French in high school. My teacher came up to me and was like, you are failing. And I just, you know, last exam of the year, like, you got to pass this. And I turned to him and I was like, this was painful for the both of us. Why don't you give me a 52 and I'll never see you again. And you'll never see me again. I got a 52 on that report card. And I know it wasn't from that exam. It was the blunt conversation of how painful it was.
You negotiated your way to a 52. Good for you.
That's how bad. I didn't want to go back. Do I know French? No.
C'est pas français du tout?
No.
Pas du tout. T'habites à Ottawa, tu parles pas français.
Teach me. He promised.
He's ben là, Zoé.
I know.
Ça ne fait pas de sens, ça, là.
I barely know the English.
That's an excellent point. Well, you managed to muddle your way through it today, and I appreciate that. The Weekend Jam is back next Saturday, 2 until 5. It's a long weekend. I know you're not working Monday, so quickly, have you got any family plans? What are you doing?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I've got handsome families. Mr. Handsome's family tomorrow.
Right, the English is a challenge, right.
Yeah, exactly. This is the English, I think. And then I have my dad's later on in the evening, so we're going from one to the other Saturday. Sunday, I've got my mom working. We're going to be my new roommate and Mr. Handsome are going to be meeting my mom's side of the family together. So it's just a show and tell day with Zoe on Sunday.
Okay, this is a sitcom waiting to happen.
I know. I'm super excited. I should really record everything, even though my mom would kill me for putting her on video. And then on Monday, actually, my boss reached out and asked if I wanted to go to a Sens game with him and some other people from work. So I think I'm fitting in.
Wow.
Yeah. See? Super excited.
I should have wasted less time studying French and followed your path to success. I'm a bachelor this weekend. Sue's out of town and my niece has gone home, so I'm doing Easter with mom and dad on Sunday night.
And you have power back, so you're nice and warm again.
Yeah. Oh. So I guess it's just more of me sitting around with the dog and the cat eating Easter chocolate.
That doesn't sound like a bad
thing. Or Easting Eater chocolate, apparently, as the case may be. Either way, we wish you a great rest of the weekend. Thanks for tuning into the Weekend Jam. Move for now.